Welcome back. Top of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. I swear, you know, I don't know what else we can do. You know, you put stuff out right in front of people's faces. Here's how it, you know, I'm thinking about the, you know, so I have some of the tabs up just since we've been talking, Harvey, in my browser. You know, Trevor Aronson, how this FBI strategy is actually creating U.S.-based terrorists. You know, he says, after years of research, I've come to the conclusion. I spent years pouring through the case files of terrorism prosecutions in the United States, and I've come to the conclusion that the FBI is much better at creating terrorists than it is at catching terrorists. The CIA, too. NSA, you know, helps, but surveils mostly. And DEA, BATF, same thing. They all sort of collaborate and conspire. There's a lot of Gladio-styled gun running operations, you know, grenade walking, that kind of stuff. Seems like when Cheryl Atkinson was doing that work back in 2012 and 13, suddenly she fell from grace. So, you know, Timothy Hunter's appeasing the Saudis, like you mentioned, Patrick Claussen, how to build U.S.-Israeli coordination on preventing an Iranian nuclear breakout. Those remarks around the 1:15, 15-minute, you know, hour and 15-minute, 15-second mark. Ralph McGahey's words, the CRS report, RL33627. Ryan Grimm's article, the Taliban tried to surrender and the U.S. rebuffed them. Now here we are. Anand Gopal's book, No Good Men Among the Living, America, the Taliban, and the War Through Afghan Eyes. The Oriental Review articles that I mentioned, The Afghan War, No Blood for Opium. And the other one, the U.S. Foreign Policy Banditry as a Business as Usual. And Norm Dixon's How the CIA Created Osama Bin Laden. That was published a week after 9/11/2001. Published September 18, 2001, Norm Dixon, you know. And, you know, you think of, I mean, also Gary Webb's remarks. Remember Gary Webb on C-SPAN's Washington Journal? That was, what, was it 1998, I want to say?
There have been a few courageous voices over the years. And unfortunately, the government of the United States is a criminal organization, top down, and we only really have to hope for the hand of God to come and straighten these people out. I remember a famous episode. It was a famous episode of The Twilight Zone with the used car salesman. You ever see that one, Chris? He gets visited, and all of a sudden he has to start telling the truth. He can't swindle the old ladies out of their money and sell them. He goes, you know, you don't want this car. It's a lemon. You can't, but don't buy this car. So we got to hope that all of a sudden some type of truth's here. Maybe these chemtrails that they're spraying over us, maybe they're trying to land some truth serum. They should fly them over Washington with nonstop chemtrails of truth serum. Let it drop that on their heads. I think I lost you there, Chris. Yeah, you're gone. Okay. Well, it's been fun. I thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it. Appreciate all your hard work. You're one of the few voices that really make sense and have the facts to back everything you say up. Thank you. Bye. Technical difficulties. I'm just sitting to myself. Apparently, do we still have Harvey? By the way, are we still here? Do we still have Harvey? No. Okay. Well, I'll just say what I was saying when I was talking to myself. Okay. No Harvey. Harvey, sorry we lost you. I was just going through, while I was talking to myself, I was mentioning some of the, just a few of the tabs that I had up in my browser since Harvey and I were talking. And I want to get back to the phones, but I'll mention this real quick. Some of the tabs, Trevor Aronson's 2015 TED Talk, How This FBI Strategy is Actually Creating U.S.-Based Terrorists, where Trevor Aronson said, I've spent years poring through the case files of terrorism prosecutions in the United States, and I've come to the conclusion that the FBI is much better at creating terrorists than it is at catching terrorists. And that goes for the CIA and partners as well. CIA partners, you know, that's how it's done across the pond typically. And sometimes here at home, even though, you know, they're not supposed to do that. And so, you know, they tell us, that was kind of the point that I was getting at when I was talking to myself, you know, that we constantly, someone sticks a microphone in front of the criminal and says, do you do this? And the criminal says, oh, no, we don't do that. So then the American people seem to shrug, generally speaking. And, you know, it's shrugged off, and so everything's okay. He says he doesn't do it, so, you know, it must be fine. Anyway, partners, CIA, BATF, all that kind of stuff. What's the other one? DEA, some of the others, you know, and again, you think of most from guys like, you know, when Kofor Black, the gloves come off, now the gloves come off guy, and, Enrique Rick Prado, they partner up and they say, hey, we have this network of assets that we can offer to your agency. CIA, FBI, DEA, BATF, ICE, etc. And, you know, if you need something to happen, you know, just saying, this kind of stuff, you know, off the books, we can make it happen. So, you know, that calls to mind R.J. Hillhouse and Tim Shurrock, outsourcing, but those aren't tabs, you know, the outsourcing of the intelligence community, by and large. But that's a different discussion. So Timothy Hunter's appeasing the Saudis that Harvey mentioned. Patrick Clausen's remarks. Again, we should play some of these clips on a regular basis, on the regular. How to build U.S.-Israeli coordination on preventing an Iranian nuclear breakout. Where Patrick Clausen said, I frankly think that crisis initiation is really tough. And it's very hard for me to see how the United States president can get us to war with Iran, which leads me to conclude that if, in fact, compromise is not coming, that the traditional way America gets to war is what would be best for U.S. interests. Okay. Weird.
Ralph McGahee's words, the CIA is not now, nor has it ever been, a central intelligence agency. It is the covert action arm of the president's foreign policy advisors. In that capacity, it overthrows or supports foreign governments, et cetera, et cetera, while reporting intelligence, quote unquote, justifying those activities, et cetera, et cetera. Disinformation is a large part of its covert action responsibility, and the American people are the primary target audience of its lies. Enter Smith Modernization Act of 2012, Operation Earnest Voice, astroturfing, sock puppets, and so forth. Congressional Research Service report RL33627, NATO in Afghanistan, a test of the Transatlantic Alliance, a test of the Transatlantic Alliance. It's a test of the alliance's political will and military capabilities. It's a field exercise. Ryan Grimm's Intercept article, the Taliban tried to surrender and the U.S. rebuffed them. Now here we are. And that's based on Anand Gopal's book, No Good Men Among the Living, America, the Taliban, and the War Through Afghan Eyes. Of course, you see that on CNN all the time, right? The War Through Afghan Eyes. Those two Oriental Review articles I mentioned, the Afghan War, Blood for Opium. And speaking of that, the excerpt that I was thinking of, it's this paragraph. The Soviet Army withdrew from Afghanistan in 1989, leaving a civil war between the U.S.-funded Mujahideen and the Soviet-supported government that raged until 1992. In the chaos that followed the Mujahideen victory, Afghanistan lapsed into a period of warlordism in which opium growing thrived. The Taliban emerged from the chaos, dedicated to removing the warlords and applying a strict interpretation of Sharia law. They captured Kandahar in 1994 and expanded their control throughout Afghanistan, capturing Kabul in 1996 and declaring the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. Under the policies of the Taliban government, opium production in Afghanistan was curbed. In September 1999, the Taliban authorities issued a decree requiring all opium growers in Afghanistan to reduce output by one-third. A second decree issued in July 2000 required farmers to completely stop opium cultivation. Ordering the ban on opium growing, Taliban leader Mullah Omar called the drug trade un-Islamic, quote-unquote. And, you know, continuing on in the article, you can, folks can read for themselves, you know, you can see, based on official sources, that essentially, immediately after the Taliban curbed opium production in Afghanistan, suddenly we get September 11, 2001, and the opium production in Afghanistan skyrockets 3 to 4,000% in 2002. But, you know, it's just a coincidence. The other Oriental Review article, the U.S. Foreign Policy, banditry as business as usual. To Harvey's point about Osama bin Laden, I mean, there were those pictures, you know, bin Laden and Rummy, Donald Rumsfeld, for example. Right? Wasn't it Rummy? Norm Dixon's article over at Green Left Weekly, published a week after September 11, 2001. September 18, 2001, Norm Dixon's article, How the CIA Created Osama Bin Laden. It was not a secret. And so that's interesting. The report that I mentioned going into the break in the last hour, Fox News article, December 26, 2001, Merry Christmas, it's titled Report, Bin Laden Already Dead. Osama bin Laden died a peaceful death due to an untreated lung complication, the Pakistan Observer reported, citing a Taliban leader who allegedly attended the funeral of the Al-Qaeda leader. Oh, no. These guys are mistaken because, you know, we buried him at sea, right, respecting his, back in, what was it, 2011? So, you know, that's clearly a misprint, right? But there's no retraction, and the article is still published, even though Carl Cameron's four-part series on Israeli spying has been removed from FoxNews.com. Frontline Saudi time bomb, that series back in December, it was either November or December of 2001, Saudi time bomb, question mark, investigating the hidden undercurrents of Islamic extremism, its far-flung reach, and its threat to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. There's really no threat because it originates from there. It's the wellspring. Analyses, U.S.-Saudi relations, Wahhabism, madrasas, and Saudi religious textbooks. You know, and the Salafi movement is something that I used to point to until, you know, the section that I used to refer to was redacted. You know, and in all of this, you also have, speaking of Osama bin Laden, Bill Cooper's June 2001 warning. He was, remember, he met with an untimely demise in November of 2001. But Bill Cooper, June 2001. They're gonna do something, and they're gonna blame it on this guy. Don't you believe it? That's what he told us all in June of 2001. The Salafi movement, Wikipedia entry, speaking of Frontline, PBS Frontline, there is a series that they did confronting ISIS, eight-part series, I think. No, Saudi Arabia, that's what it is. Frontline Saudi Arabia, six videos they only have now. There are a couple that were deleted, apparently. Actually, there are only there are five. I think there were eight originally. Now there are six in the playlist, but one show's deleted. Whatever. The one that I always point to, though, is number five in the series, Inside the Awkward U.S.-Saudi Alliance Against ISIS, which is another companion video I think we should always play in this discussion. And then, speaking of forewarnings, Gary Webb's appearance on C-SPAN's Washington Journal back in 1998. And they were discussing Robin Wright's LA Times article, Saudi dissident, a prime suspect in blasts, remember? Now, talk more when we come back. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Fort Lauderdale, good morning.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to talk about the Swiss banking settlement, and I think that's great that they finally owed up to their mistakes. What I like to see are politicians put pressure on the Swiss banks to quit being the bankers for the international terrorist and drug dealer. Supposedly this guy that blew up the embassies in Kenya and Tanzania is some billionaire from Saudi Arabia. I wonder where that guy keeps his money, probably in the Cayman Islands or Swiss or the whole host of these other banks. And I wish there was some pressure in to clean up the banking system, and all these terrorists and drug dealers wouldn't have any place to put their money.
There's a story on the front page below the fold in the Washington edition of the LA Times that profiles the Saudi dissident who you referred to, Hosami bin Laden. He is, his father had 52 children from a number of different wives. He is worth several hundred million dollars, according to Robin Wright, who wrote the piece for the LA Times. And she profiles how he turned against the Americans essentially as a result of Operation Desert Storm in 1990.
Well, you know, there was a very interesting book written a couple of years ago by a journalist named Jonathan Quitney. It was called Endless Enemies. And his theory was that the United States foreign policy simply creates enemies wherever we go. And I think this is another example. When we intervene in the affairs of other countries and we shoot at people and people get shot at with American bullets and American weapons, we create enemies. And if this is true, that this man turned against the United States government as a result of Desert Storm, we've created another enemy there we might not have had before.
And that was Operation Cyclone, actually. You know, Desert Storm was just window dressing. CIA's Operation Cyclone, fun stuff. You know, speaking of Bill Cooper, a couple of things. There was his June 28, 2001 prediction that I mentioned. Maybe we'll play a little excerpt of that real quick. I want to get back to the phones. But this is stuff, this should all be common knowledge. I understand, you know, the wanting to deal with the facts of September 11, yes. But I feel like we get target fixated, honestly. And, you know, Harvey had a good point when he said, you know, this is just the tip of the iceberg. And I'm trying to, like I said with when Renee and I were talking about this yesterday, I try to come at this from a different vantage point to try to hopefully shake folks awake a little bit. You know, you have to wonder about these things. How did Bill Cooper know? Speaking of that, listen to this. Go ahead, please.
Can you believe what you have been seeing on CNN today, ladies and gentlemen? Can you believe it? Supposedly, a CNN reporter found Osama bin Laden, took a television camera crew with him, went into Osama bin Laden's hideout, interviewed him and his top leadership, his top lieutenants and colonels and generals in their hideout.
We begin with the story of a shadowy multimillionaire who has declared a holy war against the United States. To some in the Islamic world, he is a hero. To the United States government, though, he is a terrorist, a real threat to the lives of U.S. troops. He is Osama bin Laden, and Impact's Peter Arnett takes us into his hideaway and into his mind with this first ever television interview.
This is a CNN reporter with a camera crew. And he came out and told everybody, within 3 weeks, Osama bin Laden is going to attack the United States and Israel.
Amidst these remote mountains of Afghanistan are the various hiding places of one of the world's most wanted men. Osama bin Laden.
We declared a jihad, a holy war, against the United States government because it is unjust, criminal, and tyrannical.
Now, don't you think that's kind of strange, folks? You see, because the largest intelligence apparatus in the world, with the biggest budget in the history of the world, has been looking for Osama bin Laden for years and years and years, and can't find him. The FBI also, under the leadership of Louis Free, has been looking for Osama bin Laden for years and years and years and years and years and many years, and can't find him. Some doofus, jerk-off reporter with a camera crew waltzes right into his hideout and interviews him.
A year ago, bin Laden took refuge here in Afghanistan. Afghanistan is perhaps the only country in the world that will accept him.
Our quest to meet bin Laden begins in Peshawar, Pakistan, and then across the Khyber Pass to Jalalabad, Afghanistan, where we wait for several days.
So there's that, and, you know, of course, you think of Brzezinski, you know, Operation Cyclone. I don't know. It's too much information, I'm sure. Brzezinski on the Khyber Pass, speaking of the Khyber Pass, saying, you'll go back, get your homes, your mosque, which is, again, getting back to what I was saying yesterday, that's exactly what Mike Morrell said in 2017. Same thing. It's just the same stupid rinse and repeat nonsense that's being flagrantly flaunted before our very eyes, right out in plain sight. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath, head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix a problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life.
U.S. National Security Advisor Brzezinski flew to Pakistan to set about rallying resistance. He wanted to arm the Mujahideen without revealing America's role. On the Afghan border near the Khyber Pass, he urged the soldiers of God to redouble their efforts.
We know of their deep belief in God, and we are confident that their struggle will succeed. That land over there is yours. You'll go back to it one day, because your fight will prevail, and you'll have your homes and your mosques back again, because your cause is right, and God is on your side.
God is on your side. Oh, Zbigniew Brzezinski, who wouldn't trust that guy? And then last but not least, before we go back to the phones, speaking of Bill Cooper, there was episode 1915, right? Aired September 18, 2001. You can find that on YouTube, Bush and Bin Laden, Hour of the Time, Bill Cooper. Only 13,000 views posted in November 2016 by Igor Zolsky. Broadcast number 1915 aired on September 18, 2001. Bill documents and exposes the connection and the involvement with the CIA between the ex-presidents Bush Sr. and Jr. with Osama bin Laden. Sources used are Fortunate Son and J.H. Hatfield, including Bill's own work. Anyway, and that was an hour broadcast. But it's just, you know, it's interesting stuff. And then, of course, less than 2 months after that broadcast, Bill Cooper was assassinated, is what I would call it. You know, a politically motivated murder. So, you know, there's just all kinds of stuff. So anyway, and then there is the Saudi, you know, inside the awkward U.S.-Saudi alliance. And so the point that I was trying to make and was going to ask Harvey and that I sort of rhetorically asked but sort of not is, you know, I think of this clip, and you know, you hear, you know, like interviewing the Grand Mufti, for example, you know, and asking the question, well, you know, there are a lot of folks who are kind of uncomfortable because Saudi conservative Salafist beliefs, they say, have led many to take up weapons and, you know, embrace this radical extremist narrative and end up, you know, becoming soldiers for hire. And the Mufti says, well, you know, our Muslim community rejects terrorism in all its forms. I mean, like, except when we're cutting off hands or beheading people or, you know, as one of the worst human rights violators, one of the two worst human rights violators on the planet, except for that stuff, you know, I mean, our Muslim community rejects terrorism in all its forms. So Wahhabism, Salafism, Deobandism, I mean, let's not get excited. We don't embrace terrorism. It's just crazy talk. So it feels to me like generally in America, we hear from the criminals and the criminals say, well, we don't do that. That's not what we're doing. And Americans generally seem to kind of shrug. We've lost our, in the learned helplessness programming, we've learned our sense of self, we've, the we've learned away, I guess, or been the sense of self-preservation has been deprogrammed out of us almost. Well, the criminal says they don't do that. So, I mean, clearly we need to look elsewhere. It's kind of how that seems to go to me. And that's cynical, I realize. Anyway, there's some evidence since it's 9/11 week, since it's Shark Week, be afraid, be very afraid. And so if we're teaching children, you know, traumatic historical events, are we teaching them this kind of stuff? Is Gary Webb's discussion of Osama bin Laden in 1998 part of the discussion? Talking about Robin Wright's LA Times article, Saudi dissident, a prime suspect in blasts, and, you know, Jonathan Quitney's book, Endless Enemies, The Making of an Unfriendly World. That was in 1984. It was a brilliant work. And anyway, enough about that. What else can you do but say, look, here are some interesting data points you might want to be interested in, America. Maybe you should read some of this stuff before you go send your brave young sons, daughters, loved ones off to be Kissingerite cannon fodder. Just saying. Back to the phones. William in Montana, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Morning, Chris.
Morning, William.
While you were playing that interview by the television crew, you know, I just couldn't stop thinking or wondering, you know, like, was this conducted in a cave in the Khyber Pass, or was it done on some back lot studio?
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Look out,
it's like,
okay,
Osama, that was good, but next time try to look a bit more menacing, you know?
Yeah.
BJB, why don't we have him hold an AK-47 in his lap? Great idea. Get one.
The unwashed masses will say, what is William smoking? And I would point them, speaking of Trevor Aronson, again, I would point them to Trevor Aronson's Intercept article titled The Sting, How the FBI Created a Terrorist.
Yeah.
The Sammy Osmakosh martyrdom video with the suicide vest, AK-47, and it was an FBI soundstage with FBI agents all around directing and producing the production.
And, you know, it's just, you know, how many times have we been fooled by, okay, quiet on the set, take 15.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and exactly. It's just, you know, like when we were having the discussion about how Hollywood during the Depression was used to indoctrinate people and keep them under control, give them false hope, you know, things will get better, all you have to do is remain peaceful. You know, like what happened, you know, when we're trying to analyze these things, we have to understand that we're looking at a moving target. You know, First there were the theaters where people had to be enticed to come to. Then, after World War II, we didn't need the theaters, the Hollywood theaters, because this TV became a piece of furniture in our living room. So now we could use the TVs. You know, we didn't have to try to get them to leave the comfort of their home. We could go to the comfort of their home and indoctrinate them there. And then, of course, I said, you know, now we carry the screens in our palms of our hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this thing of how we're analyzing, you know, like how are we being indoctrinated? Well, it's a moving target. It's constantly evolving. You know, when you were talking about the Dubai, you know, if you want to see, you know, surveillance in action, you know, what a surveillance state is, go to Dubai. But, you know, when I listen to the number of cameras that were reported in there, I mean, go to the city of London, you know.
They
estimate that there's one, surveillance camera for every 14 people, you know, in United Arab Emirates, it's like one for every 80. Well, in the city of London, it's one for every 14, you know, and then, you know, when you look at, you know, like, well, what about here? What about in the United States? You know, well, when you're looking for surveillance cameras, I think there's some people estimated there's 30 million, surveillance cameras in the United States. But if you consider that there's like 250 million smartphones, you don't have to just think of surveillance cameras on a pole.
Right.
You know, we carry our surveillance cameras with us. You know, and then if you add all those together, here in the United States, it's like one camera for every 1.2 people. You know, so as we start, you know, when we try to analyze this, we have to, you know, look at the details of the technology that is constantly evolving.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens if someone puts their cell phone down or is charging it? Not to worry.
Yeah.
You know, we have Alexa and Siri and Google Assistant.
Exactly. Yep.
You know?
And
you don't even have to hold it in your hand anymore to be under surveillance.
Exactly. And Amazon Ring and what's the Google equivalent? I forget. You can't just have something like Alexa or Ring in the marketplace. You have to have the dialectical conflict. You have the two so that it's not a choice of I get it or not. I get this product or that product.
And anyway. I told you that, you know, the Google doorbell viewer
Nest
in
isn't
poor
it?
Neighborhoods, no. I mean, you don't even have to afford the cheap price because some, benefactor who wants to remain anonymous will actually give you one and have it installed for you. All you have to do is go to the local community center and they'll take your name off the list, they'll install it, and then they have a list of people who didn't request their free, you know, and now you start wondering why didn't they request it? It's free. And then if you go out to say, here, you didn't come in, but we're going to install one, and someone says no, now that is suspicious.
Absolutely. You know,
why wouldn't they want one of these installed on their front porch?
Exactly.
So this is
clearly something is wrong with this person.
What are they trying to hide?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like, you know, and you know what I would say if someone came up to my door and wanted to install one of those on my door. I don't even allow cell phones in my house. I don't allow smartphones. You have to put it in this little can that I have just when you come in the door, and that always gets people like, what is he smoking, you know? What do you mean? What happens if I get a call? Don't worry. It'll be there when you take it out of the box.
What did we ever do when, like, if, you know, back in the, you know, in the Stone Ages when, you know, if we were, you know, neighbors or friends or whatever, and I was going to come over to your house or you're going to come over to my house, and we didn't have cell phones, I couldn't take my home phone with me. What would I do? My goodness. How did I live?
Well, one of the things you had to do is you had to show up on the door with a can, you know, a mason jar filled with canned peaches, because people just didn't come over. You know, you had to have a reason to come over. Oh, I thought I'd just bring you this bottle of peaches. I remember, you know, where I lived in Ohio and this farmland. I mean, people had canned peaches, you know, a mason jar of canned peaches that they just took on the shelf. You know, they had the shelf by the door. So if you wanted to go over and ask some questions or ask for some help, you just picked up that jar and you walked out the door and go over and knock on their door. And it was hilarious, you know, when I think about it, because sometimes that mason jar of canned peaches came from the guy that you were showing up to his door. You know, and he would probably take it and put it on the shelf inside the door for the next time he needed to come over. So there was an entirely different, you know, social matrix that we were involved in.
Yeah.
And people said, you know, people had the self-confidence that if anything happened on the way over to a neighbor, they could probably deal with it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
you know, what would happen if some pig would attack them? What would happen if they stumbled? All of these things never entered their minds. They were resilient. They were resourceful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't have to be just a click away from 911.
Yeah. Well, guess what? You know, we have responders who will respond. And like my dad would say, you know, when seconds count, minutes, you know, first responders are only minutes away responding.
Right, right.
So, what?
Anyway,
you know,
that was very interesting, you know, that whole idea of surveillance cameras. I mean, you don't have to go to Dubai, you just go to the city of London.
Yeah.
Or you go, like I say, you know, you don't have to count the number of surveillance cameras on poles in United
yeah.
States cities.
Right.
You know, we are under surveillance. We carry our surveillance camera with us.
Absolutely. And speaking of that, you know, we've kind of talked about this a little bit. So one of the articles, CNET, Amazon's helping police build a surveillance network with Ring doorbells. It's popular. Ring smart doorbells mean more cameras on more doorsteps where surveillance footage used to be rare. That was June 5th, 2019. And link to other stuff, but you know, there's that. And I think also an interesting sort of subtext to this conversation, Bill Burr was on Joe Rogan's podcast recently, and Bill Burr's an interesting guy, I think, to listen to, and he seems to kind of be softening and being groomed or something. Anyway, he was talking about this kind of stuff, you know, the surveillance, how it's everywhere, and the doorbells and stuff, and he said it's interesting voyeurism that goes along with that. You know, we hear we're not using this stuff, except that we are. You know, Amazon Echo is obviously one of the high-profile examples we've heard about recently. Thousands of folks listening to people do whatever. And the voyeurism has a sort of pornographic element to it, you might say. And Bill Burr had some interesting thoughts on that, saying, you know,
maybe Chris is talking to himself again. I'm really hope they reestablish the connection, because I'm sure it's very interesting. I was all ears. You know what? One of the things I wanted to continue to talk about is how the big move now in digital assistants. I mean, we think of Siri and Alexa and all these digital assistants, but if you look at the research centers of Google and Amazon, you find out that the big push now is to move the digital assistant into the cloud, because cloud is where all the big data is kept. And, you know, I hear the music. We'll wait for Chris to come back.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
So, are you tired of being tired? Well, then it's time to get the tea. Hey, it's Lisa here to tell you about this all-natural, all-organic tea I've been drinking that has had great results for over 20 years. It's called Life Change Tea, and it's specially formulated to help detoxify and cleanse your kidneys, liver, colon, and blood all at once. The colon is one of the most ignored organs in the human body. The faster that waste is eliminated from the body, the less time that waste sits in our intestines, spreading toxins to our bloodstream. This tea helps cleanse chemicals caused by outside intruders from our entire digestive system, and get this, weight loss can be a side effect. And with continued use of the tea, you can experience clear, healthier, younger-looking skin, increased energy, and a happier outlook on life. So if you're tired of being tired, get the Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com, and like me, you'll be glad you did.
Republic Broadcasting Network depends on listener support of our advertisers and of our sponsors. We'd like to especially thank all of you who have taken advantage of our fundraiser with FrontSite Bonus. Those who are now FrontSite members, please train as soon as possible for your sake and for that of our nation. And please consider sharing your training and what you've learned when you arrive home. Republic Broadcasting Network has to stop promoting this fundraiser on air and on the website in just a few days. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, president of FrontSite, made a gracious exception to his no-media rule for us at Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you, Dr. Piazza. And once you've been to FrontSite, feel free to call your favorite host and share your experience on the air. We can continue this fundraiser without media help, but it'll be totally up to the listeners to spread the information. Please call Dan Sutterfield in Missouri at 573-465-2356, 573-465-2356. That's 573-465-2356.
My friends feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, they don't want that use me stuff. Just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's broadcast, this Thursday, September 12th, 2019. And these 3 hours are, I don't know, apparently prone to technical difficulties. There are 21 other hours in the day that seem to be fine. This stretch of time is apparently particularly problematic. Anyway, we're back together, William.
Well, I was, you know, going on about, I've been keeping a close tab on Google's big data project.
Yeah.
And, you know, while we're talking about Siri and Alexa and Google Assistants, you know, at their centers, they're selling another type of technology, you know, that will supersede these little digital assistants sitting on the coffee table. And one of the things that they said is that, you know, we need to turn data, big data, which they control, we need to put this in the cloud, and we need to turn data into actionable insights with a comprehensive and serverless data analytics and machine learning platform. You know, why should you have to worry about all of this infrastructure and these servers and maintaining the cost when we can do it for you? All you have to do is upload everything to this Google Cloud platform. They refer to it as GCP. And we'll take it from there. And we'll give you the answers you don't even know you want to ask.
Yep. and it's all free. Isn't that great?
When you get to the higher levels where you start hooking up AI assistants, then it gets a little costly, but it says you'll really save money in the long term. And, you know, when you hook this big data up to independent AI assistants, what possibly could go wrong?
Exactly.
I mean, these are highly evolved and created by the finest minds in the world, which work for Google Big Data, and they will be able to even suggest questions that you didn't know you needed to ask and supply the answers automatically.
All your Kubernetes are belong to us.
Yes. Great program, Chris. Thank you very much.
Thank you, William. Much appreciated, as always. That'll do it for today's broadcast. Holy cow. Anyway, I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.